Today we'll be talking to Anne Jones, 6 times world speed reading champion. Anne can read a book, a whole book, in 25 minutes and has widely appeared in international media, on radio and on TV. A former teacher, she later became speed reading trainer and a coach for 24 years and even wrote a book on the subject, How to Be a Speedy Reader. Welcome to Cyclip, Anne, and pleased to talk to you.
Welcome, and thank you for inviting me.
Thanks to you. First question, who is Anne Jones? Are you a teacher, a writer, a trainer? You've done so many things.
Yeah, well, basically, I was a teacher for many years, and I became interested in speed reading as a result of an interest in study skills. I wanted my students to do the best they could. So from that, I went on to sort of teaching speed reading and its associated study skills. And obviously, there's a lot of interest in that. So I've been doing that for a while, quite a long time now. I think one of the nice things about it is I see a huge variety of people, you know, from young children who, you know, beginning readers right the way through to sort of people who are my sort of age who want to read more. You know, it's incredible, really.
Oh, great. And how did you first become interested in speed reading?
Well, what actually happened was that I was interested in mind mapping as a method of, you know, making notes and helping students remember for exams. So I went on a training course, and part of the training involved speed reading, about which I knew very little. I was very sceptical about it. However, you know, once I got going on it, I found it very useful because I was, you know, I'd got a family and I was working full time, and it was the only way I could really not just keep on top of the reading workload, but also, you know, find time at the weekends to read for leisure, which is something I really loved doing.
Very interesting. And from what you say, do you think speed reading is useful in everyday's life and especially for students? And if so, how? What's the biggest use of it?
Well, there are different types of speed reading, and the kind that I use really helps students, particularly those who've got problems, visual problems. It introduces a guide which helps the students track along the lines, and it makes reading more efficient for everybody. It can make the difference between a student being a poor reader and being, you know, a good reader. Obviously, if you teach speed reading, you know, it's up to the individual how far they want to go down that route. You can sort of, you know, read maybe 2 or 3 times faster, which saves an enormous amount of time. Or, you know, you can choose to train for world championships, which is what I did eventually. And, you know, you can achieve very fast times. But I think the main thing is that if you enjoy reading, it gives you the opportunity to read more, because we've all got busy lives, and you know, actually finding the time for reading sometimes can be quite difficult.
Right, and I guess for all the different subjects for a student, reading quickly and especially comprehending what you are reading, that's very important. But in that sense, what about comprehension? Does speed reading affect it? Is there a decrease when you read faster, you understand less what you're reading? What's your point of view there?
Yeah, well, first of all, speed reading is quite interesting in that it's training visual working memory, the amount of words you can hold in your head at any one time. So to do that, you have to have faster pattern recognition. And it does actually increase comprehension in that, because you're able to hold more of the sentence in your head as you read it, you can make better judgments about it. So it's useful from that point of view. Obviously, when you first learn, a bit of working memory is used for, you know, the process, you know, the technique. Once you've mastered the technique and it's routine, then you've got more working memory available for processing the text. So you feel more confident about it. And this is a kind of a process that happens, you know, as you gradually increase your speed. I mean, if you really push on for speed, you're going to feel that that part of the working memory is being taken up by the new technique that you're using. Once you've mastered it, it just feels normal and you can get on with reading in the normal way. What's interesting about comprehension is that people tend to confuse it with recall. You can understand something, but you might not necessarily remember it. And that's something that's worth thinking about. Another thing that's worth thinking about is that the definition of comprehension, according to Bloom's taxonomy of knowledge, is, you know, what are the main ideas and how are they supported? So if you know how to look for the main idea in what you're reading, I tend to do that paragraph by paragraph, what's the topic sentence? And if you identify how the information is organized, certainly in non-fiction texts you're looking at, sort of definitions and classifications, you're looking at processes, timelines, you're looking at advantages and disadvantages, compare and contrast, and you're looking at cause and effect. So those are the principal ways in which we organize information. And if you can teach students to identify them, then you can improve their comprehension. So it's worth doing both of those things. They're not strictly speed reading. You can do it without speed reading, but it does make a big difference if students know where to find meaning in texts.
Right. Right. You've just talked about routines, technique. As a world champion speed reader, or just as a reader, how relevant do you consider training when talking about speed reading? And another question related to that, how's enjoying a reading while speeding? If you are a usual reader, you enjoy reading. Can you enjoy the same while speed reading? How do you feel about these both subjects?
Well, what's really interesting about it is that if you are speed reading, your attention is completely focused on the book. Your working memory, the bit that's actually processing and holding the information in mind as you read, is completely with the book. There isn't any opportunity to think about what you're going to cook the family for dinner or anything else. You're completely focused on what you're reading. Now, this has a couple of benefits. One is that, you know, the experience is, you know, more profound. I think a good reader will have had this experience. You know, that moment when you're so immersed in the book that time seems and still.
Right.
I know it as a reader yourself that this will have happened to you. So it's kind of a zen moment, if you like, where you're sort of completely involved in what you're doing. So there's that side to it is very good. But you can choose what speed you want to read a book. And I think that you know, in terms of level of complexity, in terms of layout, those two things can affect, you know, sort of how fast you read the book and how familiar you are with the concepts and so on. So a really useful thing to teach students to do if they're reading a non-fiction book or a book where lots of new vocabulary is going to be introduced is to sort of get them to look through the material very quickly and, you know, use some of the vocabulary that's used in the book so that they can get used to, you know, the new words that they're going to meet. I think that's quite important. Studies in the United States dating back to the 1930s found that if you sort of surveyed your material before you actually read it, the overall reading time could be cut down by 24%. And that's because people are more familiar with the concepts. The brain has started organizing the material and it's easier to absorb. So I think that's a very simple thing that everybody can do that will save them masses of time.
Right. So it seems quite evident that training is important. Having been a teacher yourself, do you think reading techniques should be taught and trained in school? Should be something that all schools should go over?
Well, I think that there are some very easy things to sort of teach children, and I think they make a big difference. We've already mentioned that, children who have difficulty focusing, they may have issues to do with the foveal focus. Actually being able to sort of focus on a book can be quite difficult if you haven't got a particular eye dominance. They may have problems with their eyes tracking and teaming. So if you introduce a guide, that makes a big difference. And it's worth encouraging people to continue with it, because I remember when I was a child, if you were pointing at the book was sort of frowned upon. But it would slow you down. But in actual fact, it's the secret to actually speeding up, because it can act as a pacer and use it to pull your eyes along. That's quite useful. I think what I found, because I was interested in speed reading, I became interested in study in general and the problems that people have with reading. And it's worth understanding, for example, that there are different types of dyslexia. Some children have difficulty sounding out words, and you can identify that the problem that they have, you can actually help them a bit better. If you know what you're doing. So I think finding out what the root causes of the problem and finding a solution helps. But what I found through working with so many people with dyslexia was that the things that helped them read normally helped me read incredibly quickly.
Right.
So it's an interesting thing. In that respect, I would recommend a book by, I haven't got any connection with these authors, but this one's very good for children who've got learning difficulties. It's by Brock and Fannette Ead, and it's called The Mislabeled Child. And it gives you a lot of very useful information, which will help with, the sort of problems that children have learning.
Great. As you know, CCLIP is mainly oriented towards teachers. And so finally, is there any advice you could give to other teachers regarding speed reading or just reading?
Right. Well, I think the main thing would be to look through the material very quickly if you're reading nonfiction, to encourage children to talk about, what might be in the book. The three questions I tend to ask myself are, what do I know about this already? What would I like to know? What do I think the author's going to say? And that's a predictive set of questions, quite useful, very simple. They get the brain engaged. And when you're reading, you're more likely to pick up the information faster because you've identified what you want. And as I said, they can save almost a quarter of reading time overall if they've got their brains ready to sort of take on board the reading. There's an awful lot that's useful about working memory that people really should know. There are some things that are quite interesting about it. One is that working memory, the ability to hold information in mind as we're studying it, varies with age. So if you're giving instructions to youngsters and you're asking them to sort of open their books and turn to page 15, if they're sort of young, they're not going to be able to absorb much beyond one instruction. So when they get to 7 years, two instructions they'll be able to hold in their heads and open your book, turn to page 15, sort of if you can get your planners out or whatever it is, two instructions. By the time they get to 10, it's three, and 14, it's four. So it's worth knowing that, because if you overload working memory, it tends to zone out. It feels a little bit too much of an effort. So, think about what you're saying to the kids. Give them a instructions in that sort of way, so that you don't overload them. Interestingly enough, 15 to 25-year olds are better than adults. They can recall information in terms of working memory anyway. They can keep up to five instructions in their heads at any one time. So it's worth knowing that, because I think that we assume that kids are going to retain information, that we give them instructions that we're going to give them. It's not likely to be the case. I'll keep it in working memory if it's more than their capacity.
Right. And let me just ask you one final question. I know you've had some very gratifying experiences with some of the children or people you've been training. What would you say? Could you share one of your biggest or more gratifying experiences you've had with students while teaching them or training them in speed reading or reading?
Yeah, I think my all-time favorite student was a 10-year-old boy who had a reading age of six, and he was dyslexic and he had autism. And when I first met him, he was sort of hiding behind a sofa, and his mum had asked me to come over and work with him. Anyway, I asked him how he felt about reading, and he said he'd rather kill someone than read a book, which wasn't very encouraging.
Yes.
Anyway, so we did an assessment, and he read. Actually, he read aloud, and he was reading at the rate of 26 words a minute. Whenever he stumbled, his mother would stop and help him, and he gave her such an awful look. It was clearly, he really hated the indignity of it. Anyway, I taught him how to speed read a little bit anyway on that first session, and he got from 26 words a minute to something over 60, and he was really encouraged by that. Another thing I made a point of telling him, because I knew he was good at maths, I said, well, if you can learn 1,000 words, you can read pretty much anything. And I think if you give people a sort of quantifiable amount, that makes a big difference. One of the things we changed was how the reading practices took place. His mother would read to him, and if it was a word he was learning, he would help her. So we changed the psychology of it. He didn't really want to be a speed reader. He just wanted to be the same as the other boys. But he eventually, well, not eventually, it wasn't very long before he was reading at over 300 words a minute, which is probably faster than most adults. But anyway, that's what he wanted to do. He went on to study at mathematics at university, and he graduated. But it really changed his life, and it changed mine, because I was really very much more interested in working with dyslexics, and it did make a big difference. So that's my favourite story.
I'm sure you made a big the great difference. Well, I can only congratulate you for your job. Thank you very much for being here today with us at CCLIP, and thank you really much very much for your time and the job you've done during all these years and you keep doing.